We're going to be looking through the Christmas account here of Luke chapter 2, but I want to highlight one verse here, Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It's a verse that I oftentimes think about, and I wonder. Well, let me read it to you. It says there in verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You ever come across that verse and you kind of go, I wonder what Mary was thinking about there. You see, she had just witnessed a whole lot. In fact, you know, that whole 9 months prior to this must have been quite a time in her life, starting from the announcement of the angel to her. It must have been quite an eventful time in her life. And now she's seeing all these events coming to pass, and she's now holding this little child in her arms. And it says that she saw these things, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I kind of think, what was she thinking? Reasons for reflection this morning is what I want to talk about. Points to ponder more specifically. And there are a lot of things that we in our lives can spend time pondering. You know, why is it that dogs hate it when you blow in their face, yet they will stick their head out of a car window as they're driving along? You kind of think, what's the deal with that? Points to ponder. I mean, it can go a lot deeper than that. You know, why was the professor on Gilligan's Island able to build a radio out of coconuts but not fix a hole in the boat? What's the deal with that? If a book was written about failures and it doesn't sell, is it a success? Is there another word for thesaurus? Why is the word abbreviation such a long word? Points to ponder, things to make us think and go, But Mary, here's Mary now with this little child in her arms. And she pondered all these things in her heart. What would Mary have pondered? Well, perhaps she spent time at this moment pondering, thinking about that announcement that came to her from the angel many months prior to this event. Let's look over at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it says there, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Of course, this is where Joseph and Mary were living. And more specifically, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." That's a pretty powerful verse, that in itself right there. He says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Mary was highly favored. In other words, more specifically, greatly graced is how you could describe that. Mary was one that was experiencing the grace of God. You see, I don't think there was anything exceptionally great about Mary. I think she was a great woman that was serving the Lord. But I don't think there was something that, like, I mean, we have a lot of people that like to elevate Mary to a level of saying, you know, she is this important person. She's even a co-redemptrix. A lot of people like to elevate Mary. But on the other scale, we can go too far and say, you know, and we just kind of put Mary way down here and think, oh, we don't want to even talk about Mary. I think Mary was highly favored, but she was one that experienced the grace of God. Not so much highly favored so that now she was able to do this, but I think highly favored because the Lord decided to use her. But here's the key, is that God desires to use each and every one of us. You see, we are all people that have experienced the grace of God. We are all people that have experienced great grace in our lives. And I think we can all stand here today and say, I'm highly favored. Not because of anything I've done, not because of what I do, but because the Lord has looked upon me and said, I'm going to demonstrate my love and my grace through you. I'm going to work in you. And I feel favored because of that. It wasn't something that God looked at me and said, this is the man that I just have to use. Look at how great he is. Far from it. But Mary was highly favored because she was the one chosen by God to bear this son, the Son of God, greatly graced, just as we all have received this grace. It wasn't through her merit, but it's because of his mercy. And then the angel also says, the Lord is with you. I like that. What a comfort that must have been for Mary in a time of just maybe chaos and wonder and questioning. The Lord is with you. But you know, it's true for all of us, isn't it? The Lord is with us. Whatever we're doing, or wherever we're going, we know Emmanuel, God, with us. That's why Jesus came to this world, so that we could experience the presence of God wherever we are and whatever we're doing. He's with us. The Lord is with you. The angel comforted Mary with that. But may that be words of comfort for you today. In the midst of busyness, in the midst of chaos, the Lord is with you. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, the Lord is with you. And then the angel also says, blessed are you. Blessed are you. This was true for her, but it's also true for us. You see, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me read that to you real quick. You don't need to turn there. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We're blessed, not again because of what we've been able to do, but simply because of what Christ was able to do. And he's blessed us now with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And Ephesians chapter 1 goes on to share all the many ways that we are blessed. It goes on to say that he chose us in him. We're adopted as his sons. We're accepted in the beloved. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been made known the mystery of his will. We've obtained an inheritance. We've been sealed. All those listed in Ephesians chapter 1, it goes on to share the blessings that we have experienced. Are you feeling blessed today? I hope you are. Mary was blessed. Blessed are you among women, but we too can experience the blessing of God because he's given it to us. And may we walk and live in that blessing. Angel goes on to say in verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Here she is pondering again, thinking, how can this be? I'm going to have a child? That's impossible. I can't have a child. I've not known a man. This isn't right. She's pondering over this again. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. And the angel says, for with God nothing will be impossible. I'm sure words that would have become more and more cemented in her life with each passing day. Because at this moment, I'm sure she's thinking, this is impossible. I don't know what's up with this angel, but he's off his rocker. Because this can't be. This is impossible. But as she begins to live each day, those words, I'm sure, coming back, being cemented in her and her faith being built up as she ponders on that, on those words. With God, nothing is impossible. And I pray that those will be words that we will apply to our lives, that we will get into our heart and into our mind and realize, you know, with God, nothing is impossible. You might be going through a difficulty in your life right now. A lot of people experience some real troubles and dark times during this time of year. But we serve an awesome God who is able to do exceedingly above all that we could ever believe. He's a God that can work the impossible. And he desires to do that in our lives. If you're here this morning and are feeling like you're just in a tough time, man, hold on to words like this and realize with God nothing is impossible. You see, he can take that darkness and make it light in a matter of an instant, within the blink of an eye. He can change what was bad to good in a heartbeat. With God, nothing is impossible. And I'm sure as Mary was living and going through these events, she was realizing, wow, God, you really are the God of impossibilities. Or should I say the God of possibilities? You're working all these things out. So I'm sure as she's sitting there holding this child, she was definitely pondering this announcement of the angel, reflecting on the words that she had heard and thinking, wow. And I'm sure she was also thinking about how God's word came to fruition. Look at chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Caesar Augustus was reigning over all of Judea at this point, and a lot over the whole Mediterranean region here. And the census first took place while Quirinius, well, that's a tough name, isn't it? I'm going to pass that one. Whew! Was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. So everybody had to go and be registered. Following in lines with this census that was to be taken. And they were to go to their own city, the city that they were from. So it says in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Perhaps Mary was pondering a certain Old Testament passage that says in Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." You see, those that studied the scriptures believed that the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. And here's Mary living in Nazareth thinking, how could I be the one that's going to bear the Son of God, this promised Messiah? We're in Nazareth. He's going to come from Bethlehem. How can this be? And I'm sure she pondered that thinking, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it would connect or work out. But suddenly here comes God tapping Caesar Augustus on the shoulder and saying, hey, I need to use you in something here. You're going to cause there to be a census to be taken. I love how God just causes people to get in line with what he wants to do. And Caesar Augustus was just really used as a little pawn here of God. We need to get Mary and Joseph down in Bethlehem. So Caesar Augustus, here's what I need you to do. Tapping on the shoulder, I'm sure not aware even of him being used of God. But I'm sure Mary here, having walked down to Bethlehem and then having this child, thinking, wow. You know, I was thinking, how's this going to work out? And again, this is all speculative here. I'm just guesswork here. But it's interesting to think how God caused all this to come to fruition just as his word had prophesied. Fulfilling prophecy here. Gets Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem. Look at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We sang that in our first song, "Glory to God in the highest." What a wonderful chorus that must have been. What an incredible choir, I'm sure, the shepherds were enjoying at that time. And in verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." But Mary, here's Mary now again, our starting verse, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm sure she pondered that announcement that she heard from the angel. I'm sure she pondered how she saw the Lord's word come to fruition and be fulfilled so accurately and so wonderfully. I'm sure she pondered the visitation of this important person's birth. You see, it was shepherds that came. Wise men came much later. They weren't even at the manger when the wise men came. It was the shepherds that God chose to bring as the first visitors. You see, when you have a baby, it's a great deal. I mean, you want family to come. It's an important celebration. They come into the hospital room, and it's just a joyous time. And maybe Joseph and Mary were thinking, I wonder who God's going to send our way. I'm sure he's going to send kings and dignitaries. I'm sure he's going to send the socially elite, because this is the Son of God. But he sends shepherds. You see, we can think of that and go, okay, great. But you see, shepherds were a very low class of people in this day. They were despised. People did not like shepherds. They just absolutely despised them. Because of the work that they were involved in, they were oftentimes seen as just being socially unclean and even, you know, unpurified. They weren't able to go in the temple like the others because they were deemed as being, you know, not up to the purification standards that people needed to. And so they were kind of outcasts. They just had a bad reputation. They had a reputation of kind of confusing mine with thine. You know what I'm saying? And so here come the shepherds now. Mary thinking maybe, or Joseph maybe wondering, you know, Mary, you see who's coming here? Just, you know, keep that wallet, keep that purse down below under the chair there. Okay, just keep your eye on that thing. Just keep tabs on what we got around here. These shepherds are coming. We better watch out here. But they come just jubilant and rejoicing. God chooses a group of people to come to be the first visitors of this important day that you probably wouldn't have expected to come. And how that touches my heart, how I love that, because God loves to work through people that might seem insignificant, through people that you might kind of think, they're not really worth very much. God loves to use people like that. God loves to call people like that. Work through people like that. It says in Mark 2, verse 17, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it was these kind of people that the Lord went to and embraced and used and met and touched their lives. I'm so glad that he would have shepherds come to this important event. Because there are a great many that would look at their lives and say, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to come to Jesus and receive him as my Savior. But the Lord says, it's exactly for you why I came. It's for people like you why I chose to come to this world like one of you. To make known the love of God the Father. Mary may have contemplated this point, that her life would never be the same. Can you imagine what she was thinking there, holding this child, thinking, this is the Son of God. This is Jesus, the promised Messiah, who we've heard spoken through our Old Testament scriptures. This is him, and he's in my arms. Can you imagine what she was thinking? I'm sure Mary had to endure scoffing and mocking as maybe people argued the legitimacy of her virgin birth. I'm sure through many years people wondered, oh, that's just an illegitimate child. Mary, you weren't a virgin, come on. And in the same way, as believers, we know that in our walk with the Lord, there may come times where people question us or mock us or make fun of us. As the world came against Jesus, we know that the world will also come against us, and we will receive that kind of persecution or hatred, as Jesus himself experienced. But it's a part of being a disciple. And we understand that our life is not our own. But in spite of the things Mary had to endure, she also lived a life of blessing and joy. And this is what the Lord wants to do with those that surrender to him. Bless them. Fill them with his joy. You see, he came to bring life, and he came to bring life more abundantly, life to the full. And we will never experience that apart from Jesus Christ. Mary may have lived each day thinking, wow, I can't believe, God, that you would choose to work through me in this wonderful way, that you would use me. And so it is with us, that each day it's a day to reflect on and realize that he came to this world for you and for me. He was born as one of us that he might save us. But it doesn't end there. You see, yes, he saved us, but one of the greatest miracles is that after he saves us, he desires to use us and work through us. And every day can be a life of reflection and pondering of saying, God, it's exciting to see the ways that you are working in me and using me and allowing me just to be a voice for you. See, that's a great miracle, not only that he saves us, but that he uses us and works through us after. You see, he would be able to do the job a whole lot quicker and a whole lot better, but he desires to partner with us. What a blessing and a joy that that is. He desires to work in each and every one of us in a personal way. Many reasons for reflections this morning. And I pray that we be people that ponder the point of Christmas and realize, as I've been saying over and over, it's more than just a little baby in a manger. It goes well beyond that. The Savior of the world was born today. It's about a Savior that came down to our level so that we could ascend to His. Amen to that. Let's pray.